permits for.
May we come to order, please? We'll now take up case 5322, which is an application of Conoco for an order certifying the Dickinson Heat Fan Unit located in Stark County as a qualifying secondary recovery project for the purpose of acquiring the tax reductions provided by Century Code Chapter 5751.1 and such other further relief as the commission may deem appropriate. All parties wishing to be heard on this case, please come forward.
May it please the examiner, Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 400, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing in this matter, case number 5322, on behalf of Conoco, Inc. This matter is before the commission on the application of Conoco, Inc. for an order certifying the Dickinson Heath Sand Unit as a, quote, qualifying secondary recovery project for purposes of acquiring the tax exemptions and reductions provided by Chapter 57-51.1 of the North Dakota Century Code as amended by the 1991 Legislative Assembly. As we understand the law, and I have to admit it's not real clear, according to the 1991 amendments, operators of units in existence prior to July 1 of 1991 may seek a tax exemption for all incremental oil produced for a period of 5 years from the date of first incremental production from a new secondary recovery project if the project is certified by the commission as a qualifying secondary recovery project. In addition, the law with its current amendments seems to indicate that subsequent to the certification as a qualifying secondary recovery project, if the new project achieves for 6 consecutive months an average production level of at least 25% above the level that would have been recovered but for the new project, an operator is eligible to receive a tax reduction on the oil produced from the unit for the life of the project. In the matter before the commission here today, in this particular case, the evidence presented will demonstrate that the Dickinson Heath unit meets the qualifications established by law as a qualifying secondary recovery unit, and that the commission should enter its order certifying the Dickinson unit as a qualifying secondary recovery project for the purposes of the tax exemptions. But we're specifically asking that the commission recognize that Conoco has the right down the road, if it achieves that 25% increase, to come back and also seek the reduction below the incremental increase.
So at this hearing, we're not determining if Conoco gets the tax reduction?
That's correct, Mr. Examiner. What we're proposing here today is that the commission establish a decline, and that anything above the decline be considered incremental oil, and that incremental oil be exempt from the extraction tax.
And if you get above the decline, that will be considered incremental production on which you get the tax break.
The tax exemption. Okay. And if we can demonstrate in over a 6-month period of time that we've achieved a 25% increase of incremental oil above the decline, then we would be coming back to the commission and asking for the reduction. And I guess we would assume that would probably require another hearing, but we would like the commission here today to establish the decline, both for the exemption and for the reduction.
What, this 25%, what statute is that on?
That is 5751.102.
02. Okay.
And the exemption is 5751.103.
Okay.
And certain subparagraphs thereunder.
What are you going to do to make this qualify as a new project?
The evidence that's going to be presented here today is that there's going to be a modification in the injection program.
What is a new project?
A modification in the injection program. It is not defined by the statute.
Money spent to get additional oil out of the reservoir.
That's certainly
that was the legislative intent.
How much money?
Didn't make any difference for that oil.
We certainly wouldn't have any objection to that sort of interpretation, but it is not defined in the statute.
Lawrence, where does it say that you can get the tax reduction for a unit that was unitized prior to April 27th of 87?
could you ask the question again, please?
Well, I thought that the reduction under 57-51.1-01, paragraph 5, defines a qualifying secondary recovery project for purposes of the reduction in the tax, and it says that it has to be unitized after April 27th of 87. And I was wondering where we have authority to grant this for units that were approved prior to this date.
Refer you to 5751.101, subsection 5, the last sentence, which is new language that was enacted in 1991. It says to be eligible for the tax exemption, which would be the incremental oil, provided under section 5751.103 and subsequent thereto, the rate reduction provided under section 5751.102, a secondary recovery project must be certified as qualifying by the Industrial Commission, and the project operator must have obtained incremental production. That language seemed to me to indicate that you're entitled to both the tax exemption and the tax reduction.
Okay, thank you.
Lauren?
If you have a new project.
Arguably, yes.
Lawrence, on what grounds are you qualifying it now, though?
I don't understand the question.
Well, isn't it specific language there on how we can, on what grounds we can qualify it?
That language is very vague. It would appear to me from just a reading of the statute, all you need to qualify is to have a unit that was in existence prior to July 1 of 1991. I think further reading, if you read the statute as a whole and you take into consideration some of the legislative intent, you have to demonstrate to the commission that there's going to be a new project.
And a lot of that language was that way because they couldn't. It would have gotten too all-encompassing in writing the law. So the intent of the legislation was that if you got production over and above what ordinarily would have been produced from existing units, to give existing units credit, it would be considered a new project because you would have had to spend additional money or increase the injection program or whatever, and they didn't want to define a fine line that would be impossible to define. There was quite a bit of, when this legislation was passed, there was quite a bit of push and pull, and the intent was to create an incentive to get additional oil out of these reservoirs and accelerate the programs, and that's why it was written that way.
But any other preliminary questions from the staff of Lawrence?
I have, I just want to throw up a flag. Some of this, the exhibits that you have here, were off of our computer.
That's correct.
And we'll have to rerun them in case there's corrected production and the July production comes in. So I want you to realize that these aren't the final numbers that we would use. And when we run them, we will give you copies of them. We'll give the tax department copies, and then we will put a copy for our reference in the case file now. In the case file, we will also put a copy of our software. So if there has to be a correction 10 years down the road, the software, you use that software rather than the software commonly used at the present. Now, it also, in order to take, they didn't want any hanky-panky and they didn't want a negative fiscal note. And because of the tax language previously and the commission qualifying units previous to this, they decided, and that's why the wording is the way it is in the statute, that we would not have the authority to interpret the curves. They wanted them to be done on a basis of the software in our computer. So we asked the computer to draw the curve, and that has to be final. And that was the basis that was approved on. And if we did it some way other than that, my credibility would go a bit lower than it is at the present time.
Just to briefly respond, we don't have any objection if the commission does, as Mr. Norton has indicated, run another curve to do some fine-tuning. We would like an opportunity to get a copy of it and comment if we deem that necessary. When we get to the next case, you're going to find out that we have a potential problem in advertising, and maybe what we will recommend is that both cases either be continued or the record remain open until the September 25th hearing. Conoco will be back at that particular hearing for some other cases, and we would have an opportunity then at that time to comment on those production curves that are drawn at a later date. But today would give us an opportunity to put our evidence into the record and supplement it with any commission records thereafter.
Okay, so we will include in the record of this case a decline curve generated by the oil and gas division upon your approval.
That's correct. We're hopeful that we can persuade you, at least with respect to the Dickinson unit, that a curve generated by an engineer in-house, Conoco, is the appropriate curve. But if that isn't, if you don't accept that and you run another curve on the North Dakota Industrial Commission computer, we would like an opportunity to review it and offer comment on it if we so desire.
Just to clarify, also, just a little beyond as long as we got into this area, the question came up, how do you develop a curve on an existing unit because there's been artificial stimulation? And that's where it did give us interpretive authority. We can interpret that we have a segment of existing production where someone has ceased injection or a stabilized production has occurred, and we say, yes, we can get a viable decline for the operation of this unit as it is now. If it's such that the artificial stimulation of that reservoir is that we feel that we can't get a viable curve, that's why the statutory language is in there, then we are compelled to use a 10% statutory annual decline. In this case, and you got the curves, we looked and we saw we had about 5 years of production where the curve looked fairly well, and I think there's reasonable preliminary thought that it is a viable curve to draw a decline, and we wouldn't have to go to the statutory, but looking at the percentages, they are very similar. They're not off too much.
Except as you will find when I present the witnesses that
that's
because
right.
of the exponential, it does change the
amounts
as if we go out into the life of the project.
Well, apparently we're going to supplement the record of the case heard today with future information from the commission that will be made part of the record, but you will have an opportunity to review it and comment on it. Well, with that, let's start. Okay. Your witness.
One witness, Mr. Paul Schultz. Paul, would you state your name for the record and spell your last name?
My name is Paul Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-Z, employed by Conoco as a senior conservation advisor in its Casper office, and the business address is 851 Werner Court, Casper, Wyoming, 82601.
And you're an engineer by education and training, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
And in your capacity as an engineer and also in your capacity as a senior conservation advisor, have you had an opportunity on previous occasion to testify before the North Dakota Industrial Commission and have your qualifications accepted as that of an expert?
Yes, I have.
And in preparation for today's hearing, have you made a thorough study and review of all the pertinent matters concerning Conoco's application in this matter?
Yes.
And have you prepared or had prepared under your control and supervision certain exhibits that you intend to sponsor and as well obtain certain exhibits from the North Dakota Industrial Commission?
Yes.
And have you satisfied yourself as to the accuracy of the exhibits that you've prepared or had prepared under your control and supervision?
Yes.
Let's turn then, Paul, first to exhibit number one.
Lawrence, I forgot to swear.
Oh, sorry.
You promise to tell the truth in this hearing?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Was all the previous testimony that I've given, was that the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's go to exhibit number one. And would you identify that exhibit for the examiner and then briefly discuss what's contained upon it?
Exhibit number one is a map of the Dickinson Heath sand unit showing the outline of the unit, the lands contained within the unit, and the location of the oil producers and water injection wells inside the unit boundaries. Exhibit number two is some background data on the Dickinson Heath sand unit. It indicates that the unit's located in lands contained in Township 139 North, ranges 96 and 97 West, and Township 140 North, ranges 96 and 97 West, Stark County, North Dakota. The unit embraces approximately 16,400 acres. The unitized horizon is the Tyler Formation. This was reclassified from the Heath its original designation is the Heath Formation by MDIC Order Number 4887, dated June 12, 1987. The authorizing order for the unit is MDIC Order Number 1186, which was dated November 30, 1972. The effective date of the unit is March 15, 1973, per NDIC Order Number 1202. By way of reservoir data, the cumulative recovery from the field, including both primary and secondary, as of May 1991, was approximately 24 million barrels of oil, 32 million barrels of water, and about 7.5 million MCF of gas. The exact figures are in the handout. Currently, as of May 1991, there were 23 active producing wells in the unit, and the average production in May of 1991 was 1,163 barrels of oil per day, 9,551 barrels of water per day, and 135 MCF of gas a day. The injection project was initiated in December 17, 1973. Cumulative injection into the reservoir as of May 1991 was 59,010,623 barrels of water. There are presently 15 active injection wells with a current average daily injection rate of 11,522 barrels of water per day.
Paul, just a few questions. Is Conoco currently the operator of the Dickinson Heath Sand Unit?
Yes.
And is Conoco still actively operating the Dickinson Heath Unit as a water flood project?
Yes.
And is it true that Conoco plans to implement a new secondary recovery project in the Dickinson Heath Sand Unit?
Yes.
And what is that new project?
Some modification of the existing injection, the addition, hopefully, of a new injection well to increase injectivity in the unit. I really can't go into specific details at this time because we haven't contacted our partners on it, and also some of our plans involve negotiations with some outside interests that haven't been consummated yet.
Well, let's go on then to what's been marked as exhibit number 3. Would you identify that exhibit and then briefly highlight the more pertinent aspects of it?
Exhibit number 3 is a production plat prepared by the North Dakota Industrial Commission for the Dickinson Heath unit area. It just simply shows the daily oil production on a monthly basis from 1958 to the last reported production, which I believe is May of 1991. As you notice, around 19, as we stated previously, injections started in December of 1973, and you can see the response from the unit by the increase in production in 1974. After about 1977, the unit began its decline in its production.
Now, this production curve you indicated was generated by the North Dakota Industrial Commission?
Yes.
And oil, gas, and water production, as well as water injection, were intentionally omitted from this system.
That is
correct?
That is correct, just so we could be more easily highlight the oil production.
And I think you touched on this, but just to make sure, the it shows production through?
I believe May of 1991.
Okay. Let's go on then to the next exhibit, exhibit number 4. Identify that exhibit and briefly highlight for the examiner the more pertinent aspects of that.
Okay, exhibit number 4 is decline analysis of the Dickinson Heath sand unit prepared by the North Dakota Industrial Commission computer. The little triangle-y looking points are essentially the actual production from the period, I believe, January 1987 to May of 1991. The line is a hyperbolic decline curve generated by the commission software. And what you see in that is first the extrapolation forward of the decline onto, I believe it's about the year end of the year 2005. And additionally, that shows the decline is extrapolated back into the actual production to show the fit of the data.
And how is it that you have specific knowledge on how this decline curve was drafted?
I discussed it over the phone with Jim Lindholm, is that correct, last Thursday.
Let's go on then to exhibit number 5, highlighted briefly discuss the more pertinent aspects of it.
Okay. Exhibit number 5 is a printout that is associated with the hyperbolic decline prepared by the commission. I believe the first page is the actual production data that they used for the 4.5-year period to extrapolate the hyperbolic decline. And the remaining pages, which remaining 3 pages, are both the past extrapolation of production and the future extrapolation of production on a monthly basis under the Commission's hyperbolic decline.
Let's go on to the next exhibit, exhibit number 6.
Okay, exhibit number 6 is another copy of the Commission's hyperbolic decline extrapolation for the Dickinson Heath unit. On that, using the same data, I extrapolated an exponential decline for the reservoir, and based on that I got that the data could be fit into an exponential decline with equivalent annual decline percentage of 15%. This is a different technique than what the commission used. It's one that is fairly standard in the industry, as you're aware.
Do you have an opinion as to which curve more accurately reflects the behavior of the Dickinson Heath sand reservoir?
My opinion is right now that an exponential decline might more accurately represent it. The hyperbolic decline shows a flattening in the production trend, and although such a flattening can occur in very mature water floods, I don't think we're at that point in the life of the unit yet. I think, once again, the straight line extrapolation may be a more accurate representation.
So in your opinion, if the commission were to grant Conoco's application in this matter, they should utilize the exponential decline curve as exhibited on exhibit number 6 to establish the decline for the Dickinson Heath sand unit?
That'd be our preference, yes.
Let's go on then to the next exhibit, exhibit number 7. Would you identify that exhibit and then highlight the more pertinent aspects
okay.
of it?
Exhibit number 7 is a comparison of the various decline options available. What I did was I just arbitrarily selected a July target date and looked at the predicted daily production rates for the period from July 1991 to July 2006 using the 3 decline options. The commission's hyperbolic extrapolation, the 15% exponential extrapolation that I developed, and the 10% statutory decline that was also available in the statute. What it shows is the deviance as time goes on between the hyperbolic and the 2 exponential cases, which, as we said, is what you'd expect because the hyperbolic always trends to some sort of flattening of the decline.
So this exhibit really isn't presented to demonstrate that your curve is better than any other curve, just to show the differences.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's correct. I really don't think the decline analysis in a way is a matter of interpretation, what data you choose to honor, you know, how much additional knowledge you have of the events in the field. So it's not necessarily a situation where one is absolutely right, one is absolutely wrong.
But in your opinion, the decline curve as exhibited on exhibit number 6, depicted as the 15% annual decline, in your opinion, that curve best fits what you anticipate would happen in this reservoir?
Yes, in my opinion.
Let's go on then to the final exhibit, exhibit number 8, and it's true, is it not, that just basically sets forth Conoco's recommendations for findings of fact and an order regarding this matter?
Yes, it is.
And I would like to point out for the commission that on page 2, paragraph 11, there is an error. The very end, it says a level of at least, and then it goes on to the next page, decline rate. The words 25% above the should be inserted there. It was just a typographical error. I guess when it was rerun, those words were left off. Just one more final point. I believe this matter has already been somewhat addressed, but in addition to requesting that the commission establish a decline and qualify this project as a new, or certify this project as a new qualifying secondary project, we're also requesting that the commission specifically provide in its order that should Conoco achieve an incremental oil increase of at least 25% for an average of 6 months, that it have the opportunity to come forward and request the tax reduction as provided by 5751.102. And that provision is appears as paragraph 4 of our proposed order. That's all I have. We would offer our